Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. In his first meeting with a foreign leader, President Trump spoke of the two nations' special relationship, and British Prime Minister Theresa May agreed, mentioning common economic interests.
The President and I have mentioned future economic cooperation and trade. Trade between our two countries is already worth over £150 billion a year.
Mr. Trump also spoke to reporters of the U.S. relationship with the U.K.
Madam Prime Minister, we look forward to working closely with you as we strengthen our mutual ties in commerce, business, and foreign affairs.
Also Friday, President Trump had signed an executive action that restricts any Syrian refugees from entering the United States for an indefinite period of time. Nobel Peace Prize winner Malala Yousafzai, a 19-year-old Pakistani student activist, once attacked by the Taliban, now recovered and living in the United Kingdom, said she is heartbroken that the U.S. is closing the door on children, mothers, and fathers fleeing violence and war. During the Friday press conference with Prime Minister May, there were queries about Mr. Trump's controversial stance on Mexico and Russia when asked whether he would lift sanctions after a planned phone call today with Russian President Vladimir Putin. President Trump said it is very early to be talking about sanctions. Britain's Foreign Minister Boris Johnson says Bashar al-Assad should be allowed to seek another term as Syria's president if any agreement is reached to end the country's nearly six-year-long civil war. The United States and its Western allies have long insisted that Assad must relinquish power in Syria as part of the peace agreement. This is VOA News. Italian Coast Guard says that it has rescued some 1,000 migrants from what they described as leaky boats in the Mediterranean, while one person there found dead. More than 180,000 migrants reached Italy last year, a record number. UN says more than 5,000 people died last year trying to cross the Mediterranean. The mayor of a Somali town near the border with Kenya was killed. It happened in an attack by Al-Shabaab militants. Mohamed Duare Noah was killed inside a Kenyan military base after Al-Shabaab militants stormed that base. Noah was one of three civilians killed in the attack. Two others were wounded. Greece's Supreme Court has rejected a request from Turkey for the extradition of eight servicemen who fled the country following the failed coup last summer. Henry Ridgewell is following that story.
The eight Turkish servicemen, three majors, three captains, and two sergeant majors, escaped Turkey in a helicopter July 16th, the day after the failed coup. They landed in northern Greece and immediately sought political asylum. Greece's Supreme Court said that their rights would likely be violated given the extensive crackdown following the coup attempt and rejected Ankara's extradition request. Their lawyer, Christos Milonopoulos, praised the decision. It was a great victory for European values, for Greek justice, he said. Turkey insists the men were involved in the coup attempt, which it claims was orchestrated by the US-based cleric Fethullah Gulen. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
Friday was International Holocaust Remembrance Day, remembering the 6 million Jews killed by German Nazis and their collaborators during the Holocaust, wiping out a third of the world's Jews. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres.
And it would be a dangerous error to think of the Holocaust as simply the result of the insanity of a group of criminal Nazis. On the contrary, the Holocaust was the culmination of millennia of hatred, scapegoating, and discrimination targeting the Jews, what we now call anti-Semitism.
Friday's UN-designated Holocaust Remembrance Day commemorates the date of the liberation of the Auschwitz death camp. That was in 1945. Indonesia has quietly released a presidential decree addressing the roughly 14,000 refugees and asylum seekers who were previously overlooked in the country's laws. As it stands now, the decree has entered a global fray at a time when governments like those of Australia, the United States, and most of Western Europe are tightening their borders to refugees and asylum seekers. Get more at the VOA News app.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Welcome to another hour of Jazz America here on VOA1. This is Russ Davis, your host. And again, I'll take you for our yearly trip to the greatest gathering of jazz musicians and those who love them, Jazz Connect. And I don't think of it as an exaggeration to say that those who gather at the Jazz Connect Conference in New York City each year truly do love not only the art form of jazz, but those who spend their lives, their creative energy, and their time making this great art form, born in America and now loved all over the world. So let's once again join in with the family of jazz. That was the theme of the 2017 Jazz Connect Conference in New York, the 4th and 5th of January, and join with one of the great jazz families. As we begin this hour of VOA's Jazz America with some new music featuring the sisters, Ingrid Jensen, the great trumpeter, and saxophonist, her sister, Christine Jensen, joined by some great musicians, including special guest guitarist Ben Monder. From their new release, Infinitude, here is Ingrid and Christine Jensen with a song entitled Old Time. The family of jazz playing for us on VOA's Jazz America. Thank you.
When you're feeling down and out, wondering what this world's about, I know a place that has the answer. It's a place where no one knows. It's a land. Vibrations always greet you.
Chuck Mangione's famous composition, Land of Make-Believe. From her album, Lost Love Songs, that's the great vocalist of Manhattan Transfer, Cheryl Benteen. One of her latest solo releases, as a matter of fact, her very latest. And certainly she's been part of Manhattan Transfer for all these years. And by all accounts, they have been like a family. down through the decades. This is Russ Davis, the family of jazz, the theme of the 2017 Jazz Connect Conference, and one of the artists who joined in with the activities and made a speech on the very first day of the conference that certainly tied together his feeling of the family of jazz and how it's impacted him, his career, and life, is Rudresh Mahanthappa, the great alto saxophonist. Here are some of his thoughts from the stage on that first day, followed by some of his wonderful music here on VOA's Jazz America.
Fellowship, two foundation awards for arts fellowships, numerous commissions. He's been named alto saxophonist of the year 4 of the past 5 years in Downbeats magazine, international critics poll, and for 5 years running by the Jazz Journalists Association. On paper, his career seems easy, but in life and in professional life, Rudresh has faced special challenges like all of us and summoned his internal fortitude to meet life head on, straight on, and succeed on his own terms. And he's here to share us some of his thoughts. Please welcome him to the stage. Rudresh.
I just wanted to share a couple of thoughts. You know, the theme here is the family of jazz, and what does that mean exactly? I think Peter put it very well, that it is like Thanksgiving dinner. We don't all have to get along, and sometimes we don't get along, and that's okay. I just want to share some ideas about authenticity, integrity, and gratitude. So when I think about my family of jazz, I think about my early days. Like, I grew up in Boulder, Colorado, in the 70s, and here I am, an Indian American jazz saxophonist in Boulder, Colorado. So I have the odds are against me, I think. But there were people that looked out for me, and those are the people that are much more my family, I think. You know, my first saxophone teacher, Mark Harris, who 99.9% of you have never heard of, was fabulous. He was my teacher until I went to high school. In Boulder, there's this famous pedestrian mall that's famous for its street entertainers. I used to, my dad didn't know what he was getting into. He recommended that I go out there and play and try to make a few bucks. Little did he know he was instilling this idea of having a career in music, much to his dismay at the time. But there were other players out there, and I remember there was a guy who used to wheel an upright piano out there and play standards, and I was like maybe 13, 14, and I asked him if I could play a tune with him, and he said no. So you have to understand, I was out there playing TV show themes, and I was butchering Charlie Parker solos, but I was trying. I walked about 15 feet away. He said, no, come back. Who can play one tune? I don't even remember what we played. Maybe like Opera Vogue or something like that. And he was really into it. And he welcomed me into his world. They were essentially like adult amateur jazz musicians. And for some reason, they liked this 14-year-old kid. They liked his energy. They liked his vim and vigor. And we used to play coffee houses and Greek restaurants. And I was learning how to play because these people looked out for me. They were my jazz family, one of my first jazz families.
From his album Blackwater, here's I Like It When You Play the Blues, Rudresh Mahanthappa on Jazz America from VOA 1. The theme of the Jazz Connect Conference in New York City this year in 2017 was the Jazz Family. And talk about the Jazz Family in America today, none greater than the Marsalis family. And you just heard them with Ellis, the father, on the piano, and his talented sons, Branford, Winton, Jason, and Delfeo. In the house, In the Pocket, the name of that one, from the album Music Redeems. We'll return to the Jazz Connect Conference in just a bit, but first,
I want to invite you to send me an email if you have a question, a comment, or maybe request for music. Whatever the case may be, I'd love to hear from you, and here is the email address to which you can write me. I'll give it to you twice, so write it down and get in touch. It's jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's Jazz America, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. Jazz America @voanews.com.
And here's a message I've received from a longtime Jazz America listener in Hunters Hill near Sydney, Australia. He is James Stack, and he enjoyed our recent special show celebrating George Duke. And he wrote, "Russ, George Duke left a legacy. I note that George Duke said of you that you were well-versed. Frank Zappa never made an impression in my memory, as little, if any, recordings were broadcast in Sydney." James Stack. Well, James, thank you for your message and for your thoughts. And about George Duke and about Frank Zappa. Now, maybe if you heard the music of Jean-Luc Ponty, the great French violinist, and George Duke down through the years, you may have heard some Frank Zappa as well, because both of those great jazz musicians played with Frank Zappa. George Duke told me once that Mr. Zappa, who was a great guitar player and certainly very famous in the rock music world, never said that he played jazz, but George disagreed with him greatly because the songs he wrote were very, very improvisational in nature and very jazzy. Here is a cut from the Jean-Luc Ponty album, King Kong. Jean-Luc Ponty plays the music of Frank Zappa, with George Duke joining with him. Here's one of those cuts now, a Frank Zappa composition on Jazz America. Thank you.
one more time for Adam Rogers on guitar. Yeah, late in the evening. Nate Smith on the drums. Yeah. John Patitucci on bass. Tommy Sanchez on tenor saxophone. Amanda Brecker on vocal. Yeah. The great Kenny Werner on conception. My name is Randy Pop. Thank you. Thank you, Blue Note.
Talk about a family affair, the family of jazz, led by Father Randy Brecker, with his daughter Amanda joining with him on vocals, and his wife Otta Ravati on saxophone. Late in the evening from the album Randy Pop, recorded live at the Blue Note in New York City. This is Russ Davis, and let's return to the Jazz Connect Conference in New York City, January 4th and 5th. And hear more of the comments of the keynote speaker for 2017, Maria Schneider.
Music. I dare say it's the most underutilized resource for peace, progress, child development, and diplomacy in the world. Our jazz family is an international treasure. There's no disputing that. This music brings so much light to our world with a potential of being utterly transformative. That's the mystery and magic of creation. What a miraculous creative spark it was when our universe brought us Louis Armstrong. So his creative spark could light that dark basement for that scared man in Japan during World War II and set ablaze a whole genre of music for us all. I want to live in a world that puts real value on gifts like that. I want to be part of a music industry that offers an environment, and yes, even a streaming environment, where such flames can be lit daily and where each flame can have enough oil to burn for a lifetime. That's what I'm fighting for. I hope you will help me bring our entire family of jazz together to get on our horses and join in this fight for our future.
And here's Maria Schneider and her jazz orchestra from the album Evanescence on Jazz America from VOA 1. Joey and Johnny DeFrancesco, who learned their lessons well from their very musical father, Papa John DeFrancesco, from their album The DeFrancesco Brothers, Drill Motor, the name of the song, just another of the great families of jazz. Well, the family of jazz was in the spotlight for the Jazz Connect Conference Part 1, and we'll continue this series of conversations with artists that I enjoyed speaking to at the 2017 Jazz Connect Conference. Part 2 will include conversations with Terry Lynn Carrington, Arturo O'Farrell, and two-time Grammy nominee this year, John Beasley. That's on the next Jazz America. Russ Davis here. I hope you'll join me then.